Romans chapter 12, and we'll be looking at a portion of verse 2, but let's pray and ask for the Lord to grant his spirit that we might truly understand his word and his will for our lives. Father, again, we turn to you in prayer. We need your grace. Apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we humble ourselves before you. We have work before us, digging into your word, diligently seeking for that treasure that you have promised that we would find here. And so we pray that you would guide us and direct us, keep us from becoming weary, give us hearts that are open, minds that are open, to grasp your truth and to see application in our daily lives. We pray that you would be glorified through this study in your word, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We've been studying these two verses in Romans chapter 12, and these two verses are a nutshell of the Christian life. It represents Paul's picture of the Christian life in a nutshell, two verses. In light of all that God has done for us, in light of his many mercies, we're to give ourselves to God. And that's basically what he says in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he shifts the metaphor when he goes to verse 2 from that of a sacrifice to that of an extreme makeover. God wants to change us in an extreme way. He doesn't want us to remain broken and useless. He wants to transform us into the kind of people who always know and do his will. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He's going to do this work, but he calls us to come and work with him. Our part in this process now has to do with what goes on in our minds. What goes in, what goes on, and what comes out of our minds. Obviously, we need God's truth going into our minds. We need to keep out of our minds the bad stuff, the harmful stuff, the sinful stuff. And we need to set limits on everything else, the neutral stuff, the stuff that's okay, but we need to set limits on how much of that comes into our minds. But I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking about what is not to be in our minds. I'd rather talk about what is to be in our minds and what should be going on in our minds. 2 weeks ago, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. There's a profit that you can make off of scripture. Spiritual profit, eternal profit. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, fully equipped for every good work. And so we talked about the need of committing ourselves to a lifelong habit of reading the Bible, hearing the Bible preached and taught, reading good Christian literature, being frequent in our fellowship with one another, as iron sharpens iron, brother and sister getting together and in fellowship, growing in our knowledge of Christ. That's what should be going into our minds, all scripture. Now this morning, what's going on and what's coming out of our minds? And how all of that contributes to the transformation of who we are. And again, I find the Westminster Shorter Catechism very helpful at this point. There's a question that's very similar to what we're talking about. It's question 90, and just to paraphrase that question, it's how is the Bible to be read and heard? How are we supposed to read the Bible? How are we to listen to sermons so that our minds get renewed and we become transformed in our characters? And the answer that is given is we must approach God's Word with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. Now, I'll repeat that in one way or another through this, so you don't have to try to write all of that down. And it's on page 666 in your Trinity hymnal. They should never have put it on that page. But that's where it is. This morning, six steps to renewing our minds and becoming transformed. Thinking about how God's Word comes into our minds, but more so on what goes on in our minds and what should come out in terms of a transformed character. Six steps. Number one, you've got to be diligent. This is going to take work. This is not optional. This is not something for the Christian just to take or leave. This is not something just for those of you who would like to one day be an elder or a deacon in your church. Renewing your mind and being transformed is to be the concern of every Christian. And it's going to require effort and persistence. 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Train yourself to be godly. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. And we are going to look at a number of different passages this morning. So we'll start with Proverbs chapter 2. Just reading the first five verses. And pay attention to the verbs that are here. Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If somebody hid in your house some front row concert tickets for you two, or Kenny Chesney, or Taylor Swift, or Dave Matthews, or the Siberian Orchestra, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and they hid them in your house somewhere, and the concert was this Friday night, wouldn't you turn that place upside down to find them? Wouldn't you search diligently, knowing that it's there, but it's up to you to find it? God has something valuable for you in His Word. But just skimming through it, you're not going to find all of those treasures. You have to seek it as seeking silver, digging for it as though it were a hidden treasure. And this is the starting point. Resolve here and now that you're going to give this your best shot. Diligent in hearing and reading the Word of God. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself. Be diligent to renew your mind with Scripture. Step number two, preparation. You have to prepare yourself in order to get something out of God's Word. when you open your Bible to read, when you come to church on Sundays, you've got to prepare yourself to hear God speak. Turn back the other way in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and beginning at verse 22. Peter writes, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Remind yourself of what you're going to read and hear. Think about what it is as you open your Bibles. What is it before you as you come into church and you hear God's word taught and preached? Remind yourself of what it is. It's not going to go out of date. It's never going to become useless. This is not like last year's TV guide or something, or the movie schedule for several weeks ago. I mean, that's useless. This is the living and abiding Word of God. It never goes out of date. It never becomes irrelevant. 1 Peter 2, picking up where we left off. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter says, purify yourself, back in verse 22. Prepare yourself to get the most out of God's word. Put away everything that's going to get into the way as you open your Bibles, as you come to hear God's word. I mean, this is simply Peter's way of saying, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Purify yourself by getting rid of the bad things that are there that are going to block up, keep you from hearing God's voice. I mean, bad attitudes. Critical spirit. Envy. Jealousy. Anger at someone or anger at your circumstances in life. Bitterness, worry, anxiety. Sometimes that's the reason why you don't get anything out of your Bible when you read it. There's something there in your heart that is blocking God's voice from coming in. Sometimes that's why you don't get anything out of the sermon. There's something in your heart that is keeping you from hearing what God is saying. The trouble's not with the Bible or the sermon. You've come unprepared and loaded down with a bad attitude. And so prepare yourself. Number one, remind yourself of what it is that you're going to read and hear. This is the living and abiding Word of God. And number two, examine yourself and find those obvious sins that are just right there on the top that you need to get rid of when you come to read and hear. Step number three, prayer. We receive the Word with diligence, preparation, and prayer. The Bible is not like other books. The Bible is not, it's not just information that you need to be informed about or facts to store in your head. It's not a book like other books. It's a book that was written by men who were moved by the Holy Spirit, and it requires the Holy Spirit to interpret and apply that word. And so you've got to pray for God's grace to be able to hear God's voice. Pray as you read. Turn back to the left, Ephesians chapter 1. can learn a lot from Paul's prayers. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Ephesians 1:15, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." When you open your Bible to read, when you come into church and the Bible is open, pray for God to give you this spirit of wisdom and of revelation to speak to you. Father, give me what I need today. Show me what you have for me in your word. Help me to understand what you are saying here. Help me to truly know you and to enjoy you. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Verse 18. "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." Now, Father, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in your word. Turn on the lights. Shine in my heart through your word so that I can understand who you are and what your will is. Verse 19. "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places?" Now, Father, work on me, work in me, this great power that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead. Help me to understand that that power is available and that it's mine in Christ. Pray as you read and as you hear the word preached and taught. Pray for others. Isn't that what Paul is doing here? As he writes to the Ephesian church, he says, "I don't stop praying for you." At the beginning of a church service, do you ever pray for the people that are sitting to the left of you or to the right of you, that they would be able to hear and understand and concentrate on God's word? Do you pray for your husband? Do you pray for your wife? Do you pray for your parents that when they read the Bible, when they hear the word preached and taught, that they would understand what God has to say to them? Pray for your pastor. Turn to the end of Ephesians, Ephesians 6, 17 through 20. He's talking about the whole armor of God. "Put on the whole armor of God." Verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." It's the word of God. Praying, verse 18, "at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." You know, be praying for yourselves, be praying for other people. "And also for me," verse 19, "that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." I'm supposed to work as hard as I can to figure out what the Bible says and to come here on Sundays, morning and evening, and teach you what I have learned. You can make my job a lot easier if you pray for me, that God would open my eyes, my ears, open my heart, that I might truly find what God is saying, and at the same time, I might truly exegete and understand you so that I can tell you those things that I think you need to hear. Pray for your pastor. Sometimes, just maybe, When you don't get anything out of the Bible, or when you come to church and you don't get anything out of the sermon, you find it dry and dull, doesn't do anything for you, you're having a hard time staying awake, just maybe you didn't prepare and you didn't pray before you came. Step number four. Make sure you receive God's word with faith and love. Hebrews chapter 3. The word of God has to be received with faith and love. Hebrews 3 verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Why did Israel die in the wilderness and not make it into the promised land? Except for those few people that made it. They didn't have the word of God telling them what to do. They had it. They heard it. They had the best of all possible pastors in Moses to teach it to them. And yet they didn't embrace it with faith and love. They didn't say, this is exactly what I need for life. That's what it means to embrace it with faith and love, to believe it and to love it. This is the very thing I need to live today. This is good news. This is God's word. He's going to direct me in how to live life. I'm going to believe this and I'm going to embrace it as the best thing that I could ever find in this world. The Puritan John Owen said, to hear and not believe is like sitting down to a steak dinner and admiring the cut of meat and the presentation. It's all about presentation, right? How nice it looks when they bring it up and they've squirted stuff all over it. You sit down and you look at the cut of meat and the presentation, and then you get up and walk away without ever eating. You saw it. You admired it. You knew what it was. You knew who prepared it. But you weren't fed because you didn't receive it with faith and love. You didn't say, this is what I need. Step number five. Lay it up in your hearts. This simply means don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Lay it up in your hearts. Don't read, close your Bible, and then just go off into your day and never think about it again. Don't come into church, Sunday school, church service, you hear God's word read, you hear it preached, and then you walk out and talk about the Braves or something. It's not just what goes into your mind, it's what goes on in your mind. You'd think that somebody making $300,000 a year would be a very rich person, have a lot of money stored up. But not if they're living on $299,000 a year. It's not what you get. It's what you keep. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference how many sermons you listen to, how many times you read through the Bible in a year. It's what you keep. Lay it up in your heart. One way to keep God's Word in your heart is to take notes. Forcing yourself to write things down clarifies it. Did I really hear what he said? It will keep your mind from wandering. Some of you are reaching for pens now. It will preserve what comes into your mind so that you can review it and work it out later. Just the simple habit of whether you're just reading in your daily devotions to keep a pen and write something down, or here in church during the sermon, make notes. I mean, take notes on the cover of your bulletin. Bulletin's a great thing to carry with you all week long, so you can pray about the people that are mentioned there in the announcements, and you can review the scriptures that are there. But take notes on the cover of your bulletin. Or, you know, get an inexpensive steno book or a little notebook that you can keep with your Bible. Or buy a really expensive journal. You know, sometimes if you just spend the money on a nice leather journal, you'll be motivated to use it. While you read or while you hear, write down what comes to mind. Write down questions that you want to follow up on. Write summaries of what you were learning. Paraphrase Bible verses. Outline the chapters that you read. Diagram the sentences. You know, if nothing else, just copy out into your journal, word for word, a verse from the Bible. That slows your mind down, and you actually have to pay attention to each word. Write out your prayers. You know, what's wrong in your life? Just write it down. How do you want to see God work? What are you thankful for? What do you think about God? Journals are actually in the Bible. That's what the book of Psalms is. That's David's spiritual journal as he writes down the things that go wrong. He writes out his prayers to God. And he records how God answers. It's just a journal. You can do the same thing. Another way to keep God's word in your heart is to meditate on it. To meditate simply means to pause and think more deeply about what you were reading and hearing. Think. Just stop, pause, and you think about, what did I just read? What did I just hear? Now, usually you have to find a quiet place and a time to do this. And that will be the great challenge for many of you. Just you and the Word of God. A quiet time, quiet place. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, said three enemies that will oppose us in this matter are noise, hurry, and crowds. Noise will keep you from thinking deeply. Hurry will make you want to rush through it and get to the end and get on to something more important. Crowds will always be calling you to do something else. Now, you've got to get creative in finding these places and times. Tozer said for many years he found a furnace room, basement of his house. It's the only place he could find. What did Susanna Wesley do? Hold her dress up over her head so she wouldn't have to listen to her children and see them, what they're doing. Quiet place, quiet time. You've got to get creative. Go for a walk. Find a park bench somewhere. You know, sit in your car in the parking lot at work or at the store. Just pause for a few moments so that you can devote some quiet time. No radio on or anything like that. so that you can just think about something that God has said. Find something appropriate to meditate on. The sermon text from the past Sunday, again, a good reason to take your bulletin with you, one of the Bible lessons that we read during the service, or just select a verse out of your daily reading of the Bible if you're following the schedule. Just take one verse. I'm going to meditate on that today. A helpful way to do that is to repeat or write it down in different ways. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Here's just an illustration. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, God is calling me to do something. I'm really supposed to respond to this. Do not be conformed to this world. And there's a necessary negative. There's something I'm being warned about. I've got to watch out for this because it's a negative word. Do not be conformed to this world. God not only wants me to do something, He wants me to be somebody. Do not be conformed to this world. There's pressure going to be applied. There's a form and a pattern that people are going to try to press me into being like that. So just go through a verse like that and just emphasize a different word in the sentence, and that will help you to meditate on it. Meditate by asking questions about the application. Never close your Bible without asking, how should I then live? You know, so what? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be like that's different from having read this? You know, is there something here that I'm to believe about God? Is there something I should be doing that I should stop doing? Is there somebody that I should go and talk to? Is there something that I should be thankful for? Be specific in your applications. Don't just write down, I want to be a better Christian. You know, I want to be a nice person tomorrow. I'm going to start reading the Bible. You've got to be very specific in what you conclude from your meditating on God's Word. I'm going to go talk to so-and-so, and I'm going to invite them to dinner, and we're going to talk about this. I want to encourage them. Or I'm going to, tomorrow morning, I'm going to take the book of Romans, I'm going to read a half chapter every day for the next 32 days, and I'll finish the entire book. You've got to be specific in your application. And then meditate by memorizing, or at least taking a verse with you somehow into your daily routine. Post-it notes, index cards, write the verse down that you want to think about during that day. Stick the post-it note in your dashboard, sitting at the red light, you can look at it. You can carry it in your pocket wherever you go. Pull it out at odd moments and just consult it, meditate on it. Don't even try to memorize it. You'll probably memorize it by accident. You'll be surprised. But find some way of taking God's Word with you. The whole point behind all of this is to store up God's Word in your heart. To keep it from going in one ear and out the other, for your eye from just drifting across the page. Final step, number 6, practice. Practice God's Word. James chapter 1. James 1 and beginning at verse 17. He says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Notice how James summarizes so much of what we've talked about already this morning. We've got to control what goes into our minds. It's got to be God's good word that is powerful enough to transform us. Verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. We've got to prepare ourselves by purifying ourselves and then receive God's word. Verse 21. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. We've got to control what goes into our minds. And then we've got to control what goes on in our minds. Verse 25. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. The New International says, who continues to do this. The New American Standard says, who abides by this. That is the word that is read or heard in a sermon finds a home in your mind. You're meditating on it and not forgetting it. And then you've got to control what comes out of our minds, which is the main thing James is saying here. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Jerry Bridges, in his book, Practice of Godliness, said, what we do, we become. What we are, we do. They're interrelated. What goes into your mind, what goes on in your mind, what comes out. What we do, we become. If you were always critical of everything around you, you will be transformed into a critical person. If you were always just thinking about yourself and what you can get in life, you will be transformed into a very selfish person. If you worry about everything, you will be transformed into an anxious person. What you do, you will become. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. God's going to do this work of transformation. But he calls for you to come and work with him. Diligence, preparation, prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in your hearts, and then do it. Practice it in your lives. Let's pray. Father, we simply pray as James tells us here. As you are that Father of lights and every good gift comes from you, we pray that you would give us that grace that we need to carry on this extreme makeup. We pray that you would help us, enlighten our minds, give us the will to put these things into practice, give us the energy that we need, that we might be doers of your word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.